I feel like we could just have invitation right now. How about that? But praise the Lord. Thank you, Pernella, for that. Thank you for being a blessing in that song tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. And how many of you guys are excited that the Lord has our pastor here with us tonight? I'm just so excited for what the Lord's going to do. And let's just be in prayer for him and his family as they transition here. And let's get ready for Sunday for what the Lord has for us. And as he starts his pulpit ministry here with us. Hebrews chapter 11, let's all stand for the reading of God's word tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll start reading in verse number 1. And the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." By what? By faith, the Bible says, the elders obtained a good report. Then verse number 3, it begins to explain to us what faith does. And the Bible says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. And then the Bible begins to talk about some characters in it. And it says in verse number 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." And then it says, "of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh." In verse number 5, "By faith Enoch, when translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah," in verse number 8, "by faith Abraham," in verse number 11, "through faith also Sarah." And the Bible begins to tell us about these people who through faith were able to accomplish great things, not because it was within themselves, and not because their faith was in man or was in an institution, but because their faith was placed in God. Our theme this year has been by faith, and I don't know if you're like me, but I have felt at times in our ministry and in our lives, especially this year, where doing what I was supposed to do within the ministry, I needed to do it by faith. When things may have looked a little dark, when things maybe looked a little bit different, I had to remember that by faith we're supposed to live, and by faith we're supposed to keep growing, and by faith we're supposed to not only serve God, but serve others as well. And so tonight, I want to stop, and I just want to think about our theme for a few minutes, and we're just going to talk about, once again, by faith. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless tonight. I pray, God, that you'd bless the reading of your word. I pray, God, that you would prepare us for what you have for us tonight. And God, I pray that even now, you would take away any distractions, anything that would cause us to not listen to your word. God, I pray that you would help us to exclusively focus on what you want to teach us tonight. And God, when it comes time to respond at the invitation, I pray that you would just work in a special way in our lives. Help us to, by faith, make decisions that will change our lives. And Lord, we thank you again for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God has always worked with men and women who were willing to live by faith. You see, faith is not something that comes natural to us when we talk about faith with God. Now, I've said this many times before, but it's sometimes easy for us to put faith in what we can see. For example, tonight, you put faith in the chair. Why? Because you've seen it. Some of you have sat in there for 20 plus years, 10 plus years, so you know that that chair is going to hold you up. And so you sat there not even thinking about the consequences of what you were doing. We got in our cars tonight and we came to church and we didn't really, well, at least I don't really understand how an engine exactly works, but I understand it works. And so so we get in our cars not really understanding everything, but having faith that it's going to get us from point A to point B. And I think when we stop in our lives and we not only examine the physical realm of things, we have to look at our Christian life and we have to examine the fact that faith is not something that just operates in physical sense, but it also operates in spiritual sense. And even though we can't see God's provision, we have to have faith that God will provide. And even though we can't see God's healing, we have to have faith that God's going to heal. And even though we can't see God's hand, we have to have faith that God's hand is working. And tonight, many of us have decided to ignore the spiritual aspect of faith. And I ask you the question tonight is why? My car has failed me more than once, but I continue to have faith in it. When you got a lot of muscle like I do, amen, there's been chairs in my life that have failed me. People in our lives have failed us, but we continue to place our faith in those things or in those people. Yet when it comes to the one who promises that he will never fail, it seems like it's difficult for us. And it seems like it's such an impossibility to trust someone who we can't physically see and we can't physically note, when God himself teaches us that he will never fail us. Now tonight, when we talk about by faith, we're talking about something that comes totally unnatural, spiritually speaking, to us. We're talking about literally stepping out, listen to this, not knowing the outcome, because I can tell you this right now. God says that if you trust me, I will provide. If you trust me, I will heal. If you trust me, I will do my will. So it's not a blind faith tonight. I think a lot of times in the Christian life, we think that living by faith is a blind faith. Well, listen, living by faith is not a blind faith because we know what the outcome is if we live by faith. God teaches us in his word. God gives us examples. The just shall, not should, shall live by faith. So tonight I want to look at a few characters in the word of God from Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to quickly tonight look at their lives. And I want to see how their lives and what they were able to accomplish and what they were able to do by faith. And I want to look at what we can do by faith. Not within our own strength, because the Bible says that without him, we can't do anything. We can do nothing, the Bible says. So what can we do if we had faith? If we were living, if we were serving, if we were growing tonight by faith. Look what the Bible says in verse number 1 of Hebrews. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we see in verse number 2 that the Bible begins to tell us about these people who by faith received a good report. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then verse number 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And in verse number 4, it begins to tell us about this man named Abel. And it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. By it being dead, yet speaketh. Verse number 5, it begins to talk to us about Enoch. And the Bible doesn't say much about Enoch, but it speaks volumes of Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he did not see death. Enoch never died and was never put in a casket. The Bible teaches us that God took Enoch. Why? Because by faith, he received and had a good testimony. So faith tonight is a powerful thing. But just because it's powerful doesn't make it easy. But I can tell you this, that if we look at Abel and we look at Enoch, faith, living by faith is worth it. I read this a few years ago, really. It says, what is the definition of faith? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is faith unless it is to believe what ye cannot see? Faith is derived from the word of God. Where do we get it from? Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does faith demand? Verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us that faith demands. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Listen, folks, we can't really please God if we're not living by faith. Now, what is faith's design? I mean, what is the design of faith? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body as to be present with the Lord. Now, what is faith's duty? In Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So looking at the Word of God and thinking about those verses and those principles, let me just ask us a question tonight. Can our life right now be a life that is described by a life of faith? The way I lived today, can it be described as somebody who lived by faith? The way that I got up and went to work this morning, can it be described by a man who lived by faith? The way that I treated my wife and my kids, and the way that I came to church tonight, and the way that I sang the hymns, and the way that I gave in the offering, the way that I expressed my worship to God tonight, can it be described by a worship or a life of faith? I don't know how many times we've come to church and it's just been another service. And the reason many of times is because we're not doing it by faith. We're not lit. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So let's look at three characteristics of men and women who God used, who were men and women who had faith. The first thing that we see is that there was a detailed nomination. The Bible, first of all, in verse number seven, the Bible says, by faith, Noah. Now, how many guys like the story of Noah? Anybody like that tonight? I love the story. You're going to hear this a lot. I have a lot of favorite stories in the Bible. Matter of fact, my favorite story in the Bible is Genesis to Revelations. Amen. And I really like the story of Noah for a lot of different reasons. I like the story of Noah because it involves animals. Now, you say you hate animals. I like to eat them. But the truth is that I don't like dogs. I'm afraid of dogs. I think the Bible clearly says, beware of dogs. Amen? So, look, I'm going to beware of dogs. And how many people like dogs in here tonight? I hope you get... There's a lot of... Good night. But... We come tonight and we see the story of Noah. Now, I've heard this joke before, and I'm sure some of you in here have heard it too. But how many animals did Moses put on the ark? Oh, yeah, you're very smart, Richard. Good job. Let's help him out. None. Noah did. And so the Bible teaches us here that Noah, by faith, the Bible says in verse number 8, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things, listen to this, not seen as yet. So Noah literally had not even seen what God was talking about. Noah had never seen this flood that God was going to bring. Noah had never seen it, but God warned Noah. What are we talking about tonight? God gave Noah a specific task. Look what it says in verse number 7 again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared, listen to this, an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. So we see that God chose Noah for a specific purpose to build an ark. But why in the world would God tell Noah in the middle of a time where people had turned their backs on God, where the world was very sinful, it was dark, God called Noah for a specific purpose? God came and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark because I'm going to send rain. Lord, what is rain? Well, rain is water from the sky, and not just water from the sky, but I'm going to open up the fountains of the deep. Lord, what are the fountains of the deep? What is rain? I mean, I've never seen it. Lord, Noah, don't worry about it. You're going to find out in just a few years. So right now, what I want you to do is, your job is to go to the lumber store. Okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Buy lumber. And then buy nails, and then buy tools, and then bring them home, and then you're going to lay them out exactly like I tell you to lay them out, and then you're going to start building exactly like I'm telling you to build. And listen, about halfway through or a quarter through, people are going to come, and they're going to start mocking you. And they're going to start saying, look at crazy Noah. He's building an ark. Noah, look, what are you, you're, why did you go to the lumber store, and why did you buy Noah? Nobody knows what you're doing, and you're crazy. But don't worry, Noah, you just keep building. Because I've called you for a specific purpose. So Noah goes out and does exactly like God does, and the Bible clearly speaks that he was mocked and that he was ridiculed and he was made fun of, but Noah just kept building the ark. And Noah, when your kids come and say that at school they were made fun of because their dad was a wacko, you tell them, look kids, we're doing this by faith. God told me to do it, and God has showed me, and I want our family to live by faith. And so Noah built an ark, and the Bible says that it was the saving of them. Listen, the reason we're here tonight, the way we are here tonight, is because Noah, by faith, built an ark. But what in the world does this have to do with anything? Listen, for Noah to understand rain and for Noah to build the ark, it had to be impossible. I mean, can you imagine building an ark? Now, I know some people have seen the ark that they've built in where is it, Ohio or somewhere like that. Let me just say, it was a lot easier for them to build it than it was for Noah to build it. Yet he did. You say, how in the world could Noah do something that was so impossible? Now, he didn't have contractors that he went to, and he didn't have crews that he would say, all right, you guys work over here, and you guys work over there. He didn't have tools like we do today, and he didn't have cranes to lift, and he didn't have all those things. But what he did have was a heart that wanted to please God by faith. And even though it was impossible, Noah realized, look, if God has called me, then God is going to equip me. If God has called me to build an ark, then I have nothing to worry about. I may not be a builder. I may not even know how to measure. But God has called me to do this. And because he's called me, he's going to equip me. Let me just say something tonight, that God asks you and I to live our lives by the impossible. You see, if your Christian life can be described by things that are possible, then you are not living by faith. The Bible clearly teaches us that he called Noah for something that it was literally impossible. You say, why in the world does God choose people like Noah? Because God wants to receive the glory. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Guess what? Noah couldn't say, hey, look at what I've built. Why? Because it was impossible for him to do it without faith. The Bible teaches us that it was something totally impossible for him. But it also teaches us that it was probably pretty uncomfortable for him. Not only the work of building the ark, but then after having the animals in the ark. Now look, I like to go to the zoo, but I would not like to live in a zoo. I don't know how Noah lived with snakes. I don't know if he had snakes. The Bible says he had probably had to have snakes. Look, I don't know how he lived with snakes. Now, if you've ever gone to Fresno or to Northern California on the 5, you know what cows smell like. And I just want you to imagine me, cows times thousands. Look, that was pretty uncomfortable. Now, my wife and I went on a small little cruise in San Pedro. And let me just say something. I wouldn't want to live on a boat. I mean, you're rocking back, and I don't get seasick, but you're rocking back and forth. And I mean, look, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable not having windows for you to see out. It's uncomfortable for not knowing what's on the outside. Look, it wasn't easy for Noah, and it wasn't something that was like, yeah, we're going to get on an ark. Yay! No more in and out because we're on an ark. Look, it wasn't something that was comfortable, but why did Noah do it? Because God had given him a specific task. And you say, Brother Raphael, that's a good story about Noah, but what does that have to do with me? I'm not going to build an ark. You're right. But there is things that God has called you specifically to do tonight that God has not called anybody else to do. That is your task. That is your place. That is your purpose in life. And tonight what I'm saying is that we've got to understand that God has given us a detailed nomination. Out of everybody in this body of believers, this local church, God said, I want Michael to do that. I want Marcos to do that. I want Juan to do that. I want Randy to do this. I want Jeff to do this. I want Pamela to do this. And the truth is that God has placed us, every single one of us, with different talents, with different abilities, with a different drive, but listen to this, with a purpose to do it by faith. So let me ask you this. What has God called you to do? find your place, and fulfill your purpose. How? By faith. By faith, Jeff. By faith, Michael. By faith, Marcos. By faith, Peter. By faith, Tamala. And God says, look, I've got something specifically designed for you. Find it. Start building. So we see that God has Noah, and he gives him a detailed nomination. George Mueller said this, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible, for there is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where men's power ends. Look, if what God has called you to do is easy for you, then he hasn't called you to do it. Because God operates in the realm of the impossible. So find your place and fulfill your purpose. A detailed nomination. But then the Bible teaches us that there's a demanded sacrifice. The Bible says in verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out in a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. I want you to think of Abraham with me. He had to sacrifice some things in his life. There's a demanded sacrifice. Look, God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to pack up your stuff and go. All right, Lord, where am I going? That way. Great, but where am I going to end up? Over there. What's the name of the city? Oh, well, it's a city whose builder and maker is God. Lord, I've never heard of that. Lord, I'm barely getting to know you. Lord, I haven't even scratched the surface, and you want me to go looking for a city whose builder and maker is God? God, I don't even know what that is. Look, Abraham, go. The Bible says Abraham obeyed. Look, our pastor came tonight by faith. And praise the Lord for that, but let me just say this. He knew where he was coming. Abraham didn't know where he was going. I always think of this, Pastor. I always think of if I were to ever have to come to my father-in-law. And I would say, hey, we're going to move. Where are you guys moving to? Oh, that over there. Well, where's over there? Well, we're going to go over there. Well, what exactly is over? Where are you going? Well, I'm going to a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, where is that? I'm not sure. I just know God told me. So I'm going to get, look, that's pretty hard to do. So Abraham obeys God. Now, guess what that is? That's a time of uncertainty in his life. He didn't know what the next thing was. All he knew was that God asked him to get up, pack his stuff, get his family, get his animals, and go. That's all he knew. Because that's all he needed to know. At that point in time, all he needed to know what God wanted him to do. And folks, we're going to live in times in our, we're going to have times in our lives where we have to live with some uncertainty, where we may not know where this thing is going. We may not know why God placed us to build an ark. We may not know why God asked us to teach a children's class. We may not know why God put us on a bus route. We may not know why God has asked us to witness to that person. We may not know why God has asked us to give. We may not know what it is, but what we should know is that God has told us, and if God has told us, then everything will be okay. Times of uncertainty. The Bible says he sojourned from place to place, living in tabernacles, tents. Now look, I like my soft bed. Abraham lived in a tent. Times of uncertainty, times of danger. Now look, Abraham didn't have it easy every time. There was times in his life where he was in real danger. Remember Egypt? Look, it was times of real danger, folks. You say, well, what kind of danger are we going to go through? I don't know. But you will have times of danger when you're living by faith. Look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was in dangers of water. I mean, think about it. How many times did he sink and float on a piece of wood? He was in danger of his own countrymen. How many times was he beaten with rods? He was in danger. Listen, the Apostle Paul lived a life that was full of danger, not by choice, but by faith. Because he was willing to step out by faith, he lived some danger in his life. And look, I'm not saying tonight that we're going to go out and our own countrymen are going to beat us. I hope that doesn't happen. But your trials are going to be different. And the dangers that come into your life are going to be different. But I can tell you this tonight, you will have to live times of danger. You will have to live times where you don't know how it's going to happen, what's going to be done. You don't know how you're going to be able to teach again in your Sunday school class. You don't know how you're going to get up to your bus route again. You don't know how you're going to go witness to your coworker. You don't know how you're going to give to missions and the greater things. You don't know how you're going to give your tithe. But because you've made a decision to live by faith, it doesn't matter if it's time of uncertainty or times of danger. You're going to obey. The Bible says Abraham obeyed. Not only times of danger, but he had times of testing. You remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? Abraham, I want you to take your only son Isaac, and I want you to go sacrifice him. Lord, he's my only son. You gave him to me. I know I gave him to you, but I want you to sacrifice him. Hey, Isaac, tomorrow we're going to go up the mountain. We're going to go sacrifice. The men got ready the next morning. They start out to the mountain. Hey, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Don't worry, son. God will provide. Dad, we just walked all that way from home to the mountain, and we don't even have anything to sacrifice. Don't worry, son. God will provide. They get to the foot of the mountain, and Abraham says, you guys stay here. Isaac and I will go, and we will return. We will return. Plural. But God had asked him to sacrifice his son, so I understand that a sacrifice is dead. But Abraham said, we will return. The Bible says because Abraham so much believed God that he was willing to believe that God was, if God were to take his life, that he was going to revive him. Dad, we're going up the mountain and we don't even have a sacrifice. Don't worry, son, God will provide. Get up there, they build an altar. Dad, where's the sacrifice? Isaac, you know I love you. I would do anything for you. But I want you to know that I love God and I trust God. And I'm not sure what's about to happen, but I want you to know that I have faith in God. Did you get on the altar? Gets on the altar. With tears probably in his eyes. A heavy heart, a hurting heart. Son, I love you. I love God. Don't worry, son. God knows best, and he's powerful. Takes the knife and is ready to do what God has asked him to do, and God stops him. Says, Abraham, hey, now I know that you trust me. Now I know that you believe me. I want you to look over there, Abraham. There's a ram over there. He's caught in the thicket. Go, and that's what I want you to sacrifice. I could just imagine the joy and on Abraham's face, and grabbing his son, untying him, giving him a hug and a kiss, saying, son, I told you God will provide. I told you that if we were just to come up here by faith, that God was going to provide. And now let's go get it, son. They go, they get it. They bring it back to the altar. They sacrifice it to Almighty God. Let me just say tonight that Abraham passed the test. I don't know what your test is tonight, but I can guarantee you that we're going to go through some testing. But by faith, God has already provided. Jehovah Jireh, the God who has seen the need way before we even get there. And listen, he's already provided it. Think of this with me. Somebody had to feed that ram. Somebody had to nurture it. Somebody had to get it to the place where it was to be ready for a sacrifice. Listen, somebody had to take care of it because God didn't just take any sacrifice. And God will provide for you. If you pass the test. So the Bible teaches us that Noah, man, God chose him for a specific purpose. God knew exactly what he wanted him to do. Abraham shows us in his testimony that, look, sacrifice is demanded for a life of faith. You can't live your life of faith without being tested, without sacrificing something. But then I want us to see, lastly, and we're done tonight, there's got to be a declared work. Look what the Bible says in verse number 32. Let's skip down to there real quick. Verse number 32 of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, Chapter 11 and verse number 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know what we just read? A list of finishers. A list of men and women who finished, who God gave them a detailed task that wasn't easy, that was probably uncomfortable, that required a sacrifice, that demanded of them a literal sacrifice, but they were willing to finish. And let me just say tonight, folks, that our lives can't be lives of quitters. We can't just quit halfway in God's work. We can't just say, oh, God's called me to do, so let's start doing it, and then quit halfway through. We've got to finish. We've got to go through. Listen, there's got to be tonight a declared work. We've got to say, look, tonight I'm declaring that I'm going to serve God with my life. I know testing may come. I know hard times may come. I know I may have to sacrifice some things. I know it may be uncomfortable at times. But because I have faith in God, look, I've declared tonight that myself and my family, we will serve the Lord. I'll just say something tonight that many of us struggle with flakiness. I'm not talking about dandruff tonight. Some of us are just plain out flaky. We're not faithful. And the reason is because we're not doing it by faith. We've never really declared what our work is. And let me just say something tonight, that if you come and you say, Pastor, tonight I'm going to teach the third grade class. Look, if we don't need a third grade teacher, you're not teaching the third grade class. A declared work is not just you coming and saying, that's what I'm, no. You know what it's saying? Lord, I'm willing to do anything. Look, not everybody can be the pastor. Not everybody can be the preacher. Not everybody can be the bus captain or the bus driver. Not everybody can be the nursery worker or the nursery leader. Not everybody can run the sound, and not everybody can do the presentations. Listen, but there is something that you can do. And when you come to God and you say, God, I'm willing to declare myself to you, and I'm willing to say, God, here I am. Use me in whatever capacity you want to use me. Then God will take your life. Why? Because you've given it to Him. And God will say, okay, I want to put you there. And when you're there, look, you may be in an obscure place. Nobody may notice, but there's a God in heaven who is standing up and saying, man, I see Him come every Thursday and clean the auditorium. Nobody else may know. I come in every Wednesday around 12 or around 3, and I fold the bulletins. Nobody knows, but God does. And God sees it. Why? Because let me just say tonight that the work that we do for God is not to be shown for men. It's for Him. We see tonight that there's a declared work. Lord, I'm here. I'm reporting for duty. I don't know what my duty is, but Lord, I'm reporting to duty tonight. Lord, if you want me to clean, if you want me to serve, if you want me to teach, if you want me to sing, if you want me to play the piano, if you want me to play the... Lord, whatever it is that you have for me tonight, I'm coming and I'm giving myself to you, and I'm saying, Lord, here I am, use me. Whatever way you want to use me. There's a declared work. They stood strong. They stood strong in what God had taught them and what God had called them to do. I mean, look at the things that they did. We're not going to read them all. But I mean, they quenched violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to fight the armies of the aliens. In verse number 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. They stopped the mouths of lions. Think of that with me. I mean, I'm afraid of a little chihuahua. But tonight we're talking about men and women who were so strong that they stopped the mouths of lions. You say, how do I get that strength? Well, by being like that grain and going in the ground and dying. Dying to self, dying to any desires, dying to any expectations, and saying, God, I'm just going to die. And then God can use us. You say, no, strength comes from working out. I've met people that never work out, but they are strong. Let me just say tonight that working out in the Christian life is dying to self. And out of our weakness, God makes us strong. They stopped the mouths of lions. Can you believe that? They stopped the mouths of lions. They subdued kingdoms. They were strong, but then let me just say this lastly, they were faithful. It cost some of them their life. It cost some wives their husbands. It cost some husbands their wives. It cost some kids their daddy, their mommy. It cost them some of their houses, some of their clothing. It cost them some of their food. But guess what? They were faithful. You say, Brother Raphael, man, I don't know if I can. You can't. But with God, all things are possible. By faith, nothing shall be impossible. By faith. But guess what each one of them had to do? They had to declare themselves. Look, maybe tonight you've lived your Christian life on the line. You're not in, but you're not out. You're just kind of playing with it a little bit. You're kind of touching the waters here, and you're kind of touching the waters there, and you're kind of trying to feel what this thing is. And let me just say this tonight. Get in. Get in. We need you. God needs you. God wants you. God has a special and a specific place for you, but He's waiting for you to declare yourself and say, God, I'll die to self. I'll become strong in Your power, and I will be faithful. I know I may have to sacrifice. I know I may lose some things. I know that I may need to give up some things, but God, tonight I'm willing to declare myself, and I'm willing to do what You've called me to do. I don't know what that is. I don't know. It's uncertain to me. I don't even understand how You could use me as a dirty, rotten, saved sinner, but God, I'm willing to be used by You if You'll take me. So Lord, I'm declaring myself tonight. I'm in. Lord, I'm in. I don't know what that means, Lord, but I'm in. I don't know what's going to come. I don't know where You're going to place me, but Lord, I'm in. If You can use me, I'm here. So let me just ask you this tonight. Where's your faith? Put your faith where your life is tonight. We can sing tonight, faith is the victory, and not really have it. We can say our theme tonight is by faith and not really live it. But let me just say tonight that God has a detailed nomination for you. I don't know what it is. I know what God's called me to do. I don't know everything that's going to happen. But I know that God has something specifically for me that you can't do, you're not supposed to do. I'm supposed to do it because God, out of everybody in this local body of believers, has chosen me. That's not to say somebody else can't do it, but it's to say that God wants me to do it. I'm not irreplaceable, just like you're not irreplaceable. But listen, we are nominated by God Himself. So what has God called you to do? Let me just say this. Are you willing to sacrifice? Because sacrifice is demanded. There is something we will have to put on the altar and leave it there. But then tonight, let me just say that we've got to declare our work. We've got to say, God, here's my everything. Take me and use me in whatever way You want to use me. So let me ask you a question. Can your life today be a life that was characterized by faith? Did you live your nomination tonight? Did you live in what God called you to do? Did you sacrifice the things that God demanded for you to sacrifice to be able to accomplish what He's called you to do? Let me ask you something tonight. Have you declared that to God? Have you come in and said, God, here it is. Here's my life. Take it and do what only you can do with it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we come before you tonight, and the truth is, God, is that many of us in this room, we're not living our lives by faith. And God, I pray that tonight, through your word, you would help us to step out by faith. And Lord, would you help us to live lives that are characterized by what we talked about tonight from your word. Lord, by a detailed nomination, by a demanded sacrifice, and by a declared work. Lord, would you help us tonight to step out and live our lives by faith. If you're here tonight and you say, Brother Raphael, I'm saved. God